2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. This is the reading of God's word. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, we thank you for feeding us with the true manna, our Lord Jesus Christ, his word. Oh Father, we desperately need your word, the true manna, so that we may grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be like him, and we pray that you will pour out the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we know him more and more, let us be like him more and more. Oh Father, cause our faith to grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, bless your people and receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll finish up chapter 4 today and go on to chapter 5 next time. We are called to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's purpose. Why does God save us? So, I mean, we could answer that question in so many ways, but one way is so that we may be like him. We may be like Jesus Christ. And God is working in us even now to make us more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. God has shown in our hearts the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. Thus, even when we are afflicted in every way, we know that we are not crushed. When we are perplexed, we do not despair. When we are persecuted, we know that does not mean that we are forsaken. Even when we are struck down, we know that we are not destroyed. But we always carry in us the dying of Christ. We are being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested through us. We die so that the others will live. That's the idea. Because that is exactly the life of Jesus Christ. We live by faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and our resurrection in him. And we do this for what reason? Verse 15. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. You see, the purpose in everything that Paul is doing, this living that life that dies, so that others will live. The purpose is the glory of God. We live the very life of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. We give ourselves for the others because that is what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we do this for other people. Paul says, for all things are for your sake. Why? We do it for others. So as the grace reaches more and more people, it will cause more and more people to give thanks to God. And all this is for the glory of God. And that is how he ends verse 15. Now, we have already seen this before, that we have, at this moment, two realities. One that is seen and one that is not seen. Whatever that happens in this world, you could see. That's worldly reality. I mean, that is not, we cannot deny that it's not happening. It is really happening. It's reality. But there is also another reality that we don't see. And just because we don't see, we cannot deny that reality either. Because it is true reality. This world is not everything. There is another world. There is heaven. And people are living there right now, and things are happening there. And God says that spiritually, we are already there, breathing the very air of heaven, which is the Holy Spirit. Two realities, the reality of what is seen and the reality of what is not seen. We live in this world, but we live our lives in terms of the reality of the other world. Because the reality of us in the other world is eternal. But the reality of us in this world is temporal. Who you are here in this world, how you are here in this world, is temporary. But who you are in heaven and how you are in heaven, that is eternal. But the problem, if we want to call that problem, this eternal reality is not seen. You cannot see it. So many people, even Christians, treat it as if it is just a figure of our imagination. That it's not really real. But the Bible tells us that it is real. It is the reality that our Lord has accomplished already for His people. So, saved life, what it means to be saved is that you are now saved from this world. Just like the Old Testament showing us in a typological way, Israelites were saved from Egypt. Meaning what? They come out of Egypt. See, the Old Testament is like a picture book. God wants you to clearly understand that you will not misunderstand. So if you say you are saved out of this world, it's just like saying those Israelites were saved out of Egypt, meaning that you came out of this world. They came out of Egypt and they went into the other world. Country, Israel, the land of Canaan, the promised land. Well, back then it wasn't Israel, but you know what I'm talking about. Just like it, we have already entered heaven spiritually. This is your reality, even though we live here and this world is the only thing we are able to see with our physical eyes. The reality is that you have already come out of this world and you have already entered the other world. This is what the Bible teaches. And you must believe it. Otherwise, you're not Christian. Simple as that. If you do not believe what the Bible says, then there is no confidence that you are a Christian. That's why we are called believers. Because we believe. What do we believe? What the Bible tells us. We live by faith. Because this heavenly reality is not visible. That's why we have to believe. And this is by design. Because God designed the Christian life as a believing life. Even though they do not see it, they are called to believe. That's why Christians, how the Christian life begin? Well, by faith, by believing. Believing the Word of God. We live by faith, not by sight. And that is in chapter 5, which we'll go into next time. We live by faith, not by sight. You do not live according to what you see here in this world, but you live according to what is not seen in the other world. That's what it means. We live by faith, not by sight. You don't live as if this world is everything and what we do is eternal. What we do here is eternal. No. Everything about this world will be destroyed. All your relationships will end. Your wife will not be your wife in heaven. Your husband will not be your husband in heaven. Your mom will not be your mom in heaven. Your dad is not going to be your dad in heaven. Your kids will not be your kids in heaven. See, that's temporary. What Jesus has created is the new family. And this family is forever. So your focus should be on what? Of course, both. But what is eternal is more important than what is temporary. But that is not how the world sees it. Because for the sinful world, temporary is everything. They don't have eternal. All they know and all they have is temporary. That's what they're focused on. But you are saved out of that. You don't live like that anymore. But because we're weak and the sin, the residue of that sin still remains us, so we're tempted. That is why God raised up people like me to tell you the truth every time I have opportunity, so that you will be reminded of what is true, what is the truth. This is my job. And I'm very happy to do my job, even when that whatever I do will bring displeasure by people who hear it. Because so many people, what they actually want is this world. They don't care about heaven. Heaven is just, they like it because it means I'm not going to hell. See, that's the only meaning. You know, I go to heaven. Yeah, I love it because that means I'm not going to hell. But nothing more than that. They desire this world more. They want to stay here as long as they want because this is what they want. That's why they're so into being healthy so they could live long life because this is everything. That is how sinful world lives. Now, I'm not against, you know, exercising and becoming healthy. Nothing wrong with that by, you know, in and of itself. But that is not our focus. That is not our purpose. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and our resurrection in Him. Even when we are afflicted in every way, we live our lives in terms of the reality of not being crushed. Do you understand? Whatever happens in this world, it happens. But that's just temporary. It's not going to last. Because what is eternal has already been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you just endure a little while, then that eternal will be visible. And that eternal will never change. But these temporary things, you cannot trust these temporary things because it's always changing. You know, one day he's rich and next day he's poor. One day he's healthy and next day he has cancer. You cannot depend on these temporary things. You will be very sorry if you live like that. But God is telling you the truth. He's telling you that this is not everything. This world is not everything. There's another world. Even when we are afflicted in every way, we understand that forever and ever, we are never crushed. Even as I'm being afflicted in every way, even at that moment, you know that that's temporary. Because forever, I will never be crushed. Even at the moment of your death, even as you die, you know you will live forever. Do you understand what God is telling us? Yes. So you see death coming. It's approaching fast. And there's nothing you could do, but you know forever. You will live, even when I die, I live forever. This is the reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. And in verse 16, Paul continues in the same vein. In verses 16 through 18, we again see two realities. Follow me along here. Verse 16. There is outer man, which is decaying, but there is also inner man, which is being renewed day by day. Do you see the contrast there? There's one reality where our outer man is decaying every day. But there is also another reality that our inner man is being renewed every day. But the reality of our inner man being renewed every day is not visible. Outer man being decaying, that is visible. But inner man being renewed is not visible. Does that mean it's not happening? Yes, it is happening. Verse 17. There is this momentary light affliction, and there is this eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Momentary light affliction is visible. You suffer in this world. But it produces an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. That's not visible. But is it really producing that? Yes, it is. Even though it's not visible. Verse 18. The things which are seen is temporal, it says, and the things which are not seen is eternal. See, even verse 16, 17, 18, Paul says the same thing. There is this worldly reality and there is the other world's reality. Something temporary, something eternal. Just listen to what he says. And this is how he begins, 16a. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Very, very important. As we live our lives in this earth, there are so many difficult situations that we face that make us to lose our hearts. I mean, so many things happen in our lives and so many difficult things, so many suffering, so much suffering. So it is difficult not to lose heart. But Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. And therefore is referring to what he's been saying. But what he's been saying is repeated in the following verses also. Because that is all he's saying. It's the same thing. You trust Christ because Christ has completely accomplished our eternal life. Who will resurrect from the dead. You know, all these things are same thing, same reality that we are to look and believe. Therefore, we do not lose heart. No matter what happens in this world, we never give up. We do not lose hope. As far as God lives, we have hope. See, we face so many difficult situations that make us lose hearts. But always remember that in Jesus Christ, we have another reality that is not seen. It is our heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Thus, we live by faith, faith in our resurrection with Jesus Christ. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Why? We know that the end, our end is glorious. No matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens tomorrow, we know that in the end, all will be glorious. All we have to do is endure. And even that enduring is with joy. Joy of anticipating this glory to be revealed. You know, if you like it so much, I mean, I don't know if, you know, even as I say this, I don't know if this is a good example. If it is bad, then just forget it. But, you know, if, you know, sometimes, you know, like your birthday, you know, when you're a kid, your birthday, and you know you're going to get so much presents. And you love that day so much that you even want, like, the anticipation, you enjoy that anticipation so much that you even want it to come, like, slowly. is that so that you could endure that time of waiting with joy, even though you didn't put your hands on those gifts yet. You endure that waiting with joy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So enduring is not just, you know, you... No, with joy you endure. Verse 16b, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. This is not just saying that though our body is decaying, our spirit is being renewed day by day. Because in the end, our body too will be resurrected to a glorified body. We're not talking about, you know, Greek philosophy here. Dichotomy between the spirit and the body. And body is always bad and spirit is always good. No, Bible doesn't teach that way. Body is also good. Because God saves body too. So it's not just saying it as if a Greek philosopher is saying this. No. Understand it this way. The visible me in this world, the world, how the world sees me, that me is decaying. But the me that received the salvation of God, the eternal me that belongs to heaven now and forever, me that is in Jesus Christ, that me is being renewed day by day. And what is important is this, and this is important. Our outer man being decaying and our inner man being renewed day by day, these two happen at the same time. Thus, even as we see our outer man decaying, we do not lose heart. Why? Because through our faith, we see that even as our outer man is decaying, at the same time, our inner man is being renewed day by day. How can we lose heart when we see that? I mean, how can you be sad when you see you being poor, but at the same time, you being rich? How can you do that? But that is what is happening. Am I becoming more poor in this world, but I'm being more richer in heaven? If you want to put it like that. I'm being sicker and sicker in this world, but at the same time, I'm being healthier and healthier in heaven. It happens at the same time. That's why even as we see our outer man being decaying, we do not lose heart. We can't. Because of what we see clearly through our faith. Think about it. Let's say you have two businesses. And one business is losing money. I don't know, $1,000 a day. But this other business you have is gaining money, $1,000,000 a day. Are you going to be sad? I don't think I'm going to be sad. I might not even care I'm losing $1,000 here because my another reality is I'm gaining $1,000,000 a day. Why are we sad? Unless this gaining $1,000,000 a day is not reality, unless this is just our imagination, then we're sad because only reality is you losing $1,000 a day. Then we're sad. But it happens at the same time. The decaying of the outer man, it is the result of the life that dies for others. You decay. That is the result of this life that you are called to live, dying for others. Through all kinds of sufferings and persecutions, through aging, our outer man is decaying. Thus, the outer man that is visible to this world is decaying and eventually dies. But even as we see this, even as we know this, we do not lose heart. We believe our resurrection from that death. And we also believe that the resurrected life has already begun in Jesus Christ. Even now, at this very moment, we know that our inner man is being renewed. Even as you die, you know your inner man is living more vibrantly than before. See, we believe because we don't see it. We believe. And we must believe. Verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, our momentary light affliction, all the sufferings and the persecutions that we face in this world, Paul describes them as light and momentary. Now, sufferings that we face in this world, Paul says it is light. Doesn't it sound insensitive? Maybe Paul doesn't know how much I suffer. How dare him call it light? And we see some Christians going through so much suffering, we even dare not say that his suffering is light. No? Many times, our sufferings are indeed great. Remember what Paul says in chapter 1 of this letter, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of death. It was so great that we thought we were going to die. He's the one who said that. Then he, a couple chapters later, he says, our suffering is light. What is he talking about? And for Paul, this kind of sufferings, this suffering so great that he thinks he's going to die, these kind of sufferings were constant experience of Paul. We could say a lot of things about his sufferings, but never light. Then how could he say what he says in verse 17? How can he say that our light afflictions? Is he saying that even though our sufferings are great, just pretend that they are light? Just keep telling yourself, they are light, they are light. They're light. Is that what he's saying? No. That is not what he's saying. God knows sometimes our sufferings are great. But what is Paul saying? You have to look at the context. Go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, we get a hint of what Paul is trying to say here. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Sufferings of this present time are not worthy even to be compared with the glory of heaven. This is what he's talking about. The glory of heaven that is to be revealed to us, the glory of heaven that we are able to enjoy already in Jesus Christ, compared to that glory, our afflictions in this world is light. That is what he's talking about. So, without this glory of heaven that you could compare to, if you don't have the glory of heaven that you could compare to, your suffering is indeed great. It's not light. But when you have this heavenly glory that you already possess, and you compare with that, there's nothing you could do except to say, it is light. Do you understand what Paul is saying? So it is so important that you believe in this heavenly glory that you possess. Otherwise, your afflictions will never be light to you. Never. Because then those affliction is all you have. Then it's never light. But when you see the another reality, then everything changes. Everything changes. Yes, God knows the sufferings and persecutions that we face in our lives, but He calls us to look to the joy and the glory of heaven that we already possess and will be visible when Jesus returns. Then we'll know that compared to that glory, our sufferings will be seen as light. Paul describes our affliction as light, and it's not him being insensitive. Understand where he's coming from. Now, Paul describes our affliction not only as light, but also as momentary. And we are to understand this in the same way. Paul's sufferings and persecutions were continuous. And if you suffer for many, 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 many years, you're not gonna say that was momentary. I mean, Paul's suffering and persecutions, they were continuous from the time of his conversion until his death. Many, many years. Never stop. And yet, he uses the word momentary to describe the afflictions of Christians. The word momentary does not do justice in describing Paul's sufferings and many other people's suffering. But compared to eternality, compared to eternal, Paul could not do anything else but to describe his and our sufferings as momentary. Compared to eternality, our life of maximum 100 years is just a momentary. This is the secret, brothers and sisters. You must believe in the heavenly reality. You must possess it by your faith. Otherwise, your life, only way you could understand your life is in terms of this world, and when you do that, there is no joy. It's all about sufferings and eventually death. That's all they know. But when you understand the heavenly reality, when you believe, even great suffering is just light sufferings. Even long sufferings is just momentary. Do you understand the secret that Paul is telling you about here? A person who does not see the reality of heaven that our Lord has already accomplished for his people just cannot say such a thing. That's why their whole focus is avoid sufferings. Their whole focus is avoid affliction. Because this world is everything. Man, my 70 years, my 80 years, that's all I have. And I don't want to suffer here. Because this is everything for them. But for us, it really doesn't matter. You know, I go to camping. I give you this example. I go to camping. I don't take shower for a couple days and I don't mind because I'm coming home. I don't mind if I have to eat with dirty hands and there's no good bed. My tent is ridiculously small and it's just, you know, you feel really icky. But I don't mind. I even enjoy inconveniences of camping because I'm coming home. I'm coming back home. But if I don't have home to go back to, if the camping is all I have, then man, I better have the best tent in the whole camping ground. I must have a best, you know, airbag in the whole camping ground because that's everything. I don't have home to go back to. This is what it's all about. Do we have an eternal home to go back to? Yes. So we don't mind if my car is small. We don't mind if my house is not that great. We don't care. Because I have home that I'm going to go back to. If I don't make a lot of money, if people don't recognize me as an important person, really doesn't matter. Because I'm going to go back home. And at home, I am important. I am a son of God. And he's going to welcome me. And all that he has accomplished for me, I will possess it. I already possess it. I will enjoy them forever and ever. And he says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Paul tells us that there is a definite purpose of God in this momentary light affliction that we face in our lives. You know, you might say, why suffering? Why do you need to go through suffering? Well, Paul tells us why. It produces for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. This is what those sufferings in our lives are doing. It's producing the glory of heaven. Through the sufferings, God produces the eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison in us through the sufferings. Thus we are able to rejoice even when we are suffering. Even when we are afflicted in every way, we also see how those afflictions are producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Do you understand what Paul is saying to you? That is why, let me just quickly read to you these verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Peter is saying the same thing. Rejoice as you suffer. Why? James chapter 1 verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for there is the kingdom of heaven. See, kingdom of heaven is yours if you are being persecuted because of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, and that is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yeah, never mind what they say about you. It's okay. Verse 18, we understand all this, and we live by faith. Why? Because while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are seen is what? This world and worldly things. Things which are not seen is what? Heaven and heavenly things. Things that we are focusing in our lives are the things which are not seen, the heavenly things. Our focus is not on the earthly things. 1 John 5:5. Let's do this quickly because we don't have much time. Actually, the time's up. But 1 John 5:5. Let me read that to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. No, chapter 4, verse 5. Sorry about that. I'm reading 5:5 and it's not the first. Chapter 4, verse 5. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Understand that verse. Some people, they speak all about this world. Why? Because they are from the world. And the world will listen to them. This is exactly what happens. They're not Christians. They understand the blessings of God only in terms of the world. They speak of things of the world because they are from the world, and the world will listen to them. And this is exactly what happens. That's why if you say things of heaven, they don't want it to hear it. They don't like it. Because they are of the world. Unless the Holy Spirit works in you, you will not like the things of heaven. John chapter 3. Jesus says the same thing. Let me read that to you. 3 verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who is of the earth is from the earth and will speak of the earth. Just like 1 John. Same thing. If you belong to this world, you're going to talk about this world and the world will listen to you. And the verse that I read to you all the time, Philippians chapter 3, this, the enemy of the cross, they are the one who set their minds of the earthly things. That's all they care about, how wealthy and healthy they're going to be in this world. And whatever they do, you know, going to school, going to do whatever they do, it's all about being healthy and being wealthy in this world. The worldly people live like that. And, you know, that's expected. The problem is that Christians living like that, that is no-no. You know, I'm treating you as a baby. It's like, no-no. Maybe that kind of language you might understand. The worldly people, non-Christians, they look at the things which are seen. This world and worldly things, that is their focus. But we are different. We live by faith. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, you have been raised with Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. This is why you rejoice, even when you are suffering. You understand that it is producing the glory of eternal world. The things that are seen are temporary, but things that are seen and not seen are eternal. Thus, there is no way for us believers to lose heart. We do not lose heart. Whether we rejoice in Jesus Christ, looking forward to heaven, looking forward to our Lord Jesus Christ, as we see our inner man being renewed day by day, as we see our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, we live our lives with joy of salvation, rejoicing in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what our life is all about. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do not neglect what God is telling you today. Listen and obey. Believe and rejoice. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you, God. You are so good to us. And you tell us the truth. Even as we're being afflicted in every way, those afflictions are producing the glory of the eternal world. Oh, Father, let us believe. By your grace, let us see the heavenly reality which we already possess in Jesus Christ. And let us witness who we are forever and ever in that glorious place. How we are forever and ever in that glorious place. Bless your people. Bless Christ in heaven. Let us together witness the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reality of our eternal heaven. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.